Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Sunday night, the 10th of February. The subject, forgiveness. Pretty simple. Although, not so simple that we can't mess it up. Not so simple that we can't try and inject ourselves back into the formula and make what should be the bedrock certainty of the Christian faith into something less than certain. You know, Jesus talks about his word and its certainty, building upon it is like building upon a rock, building upon something other than his word, like building upon sand and the inevitable fall that comes of a house built on sand. So we're trying to reestablish, if we can, where the bedrock of the Christian faith is in the full and free forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake. You can join us tonight, 1-800-730-2727, as we continue our conversation on forgiveness with Pastor George Borghardt. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor George Borghardt is Associate Pastor of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. He's authored an article in the latest edition of Higher Things magazine titled Forgiving the Unforgivable. Pastor Borghardt, welcome back.
Howdy. Happy Lent to you.
And to you as well. Let's talk with Helen in Kansas City. She listens on KCCV. Hi, Helen.
Hello, and Lord bless you. I wanted to share something that the Lord showed me many years ago and really freed me up. I believe that it's after the Lord's Prayer comes a statement that says, now, you forgive others in order that I may forgive you. And I saw that how many times I had read it and never really seen it. I have no idea. But when I saw it, I thought, oh, Lord, I have too many sins. I cannot afford not to forgive others. And I saw that it's a prison. And it's not only a prison for the one who holds the grudge, but you hold prisoner the one that is you're holding that grudge against. And Jesus says, open that prison door and come out from there. And it's such a freeing thing to forgive others because he's forgiven us so much. And the other thing is about repenting and acknowledging our sin. I think it's such a good way to remind us how many times we've sinned and how much we have been forgiven. And then we look at the ones we think we ought to hold a grudge against, and then it's real easy to lay that down.
Helen, thank you so much. Thanks for listening in Kansas City. Audible reactions from you, Pastor Borghardt, when she said, Lord, I have too many sins. I can't afford not to forgive someone else.
I tried to keep myself quiet so I wouldn't interrupt her. I got excited. That's it right there. I have too many sins to hold a grudge against someone else. The Lord has forgiven 10,000 talents of my sin. An inconceivable number in the parable of the unforgiving servant. The guy, he's forgiven me. He's bought me back from my sins. He's redeemed me. I simply cannot go away from that forgiveness and grab somebody by the throat who owes me a few 100 days worth of work and say, well, you get to get tossed in jail for what you've done. There's not enough forgiveness in this world for you. It's a beautiful Sermon on the Mount. The Lord gives the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, as we forgive our debtors, literally. And then he closes that Lord's Prayer and he says, now you can't expect to be forgiven if you don't forgive. And that doesn't set up some sort of conditional where you know, if I forgive, I'm going to forgive so that I can be forgiven. It's very law. You cannot, having been forgiven all your sins, expect to be forgiven when you withhold forgiveness from someone else. And you because Christ died for all my sins, but you're on your own. Horrific. I just have too many sins to hold something over someone else. Just too much death inside of me. to let someone who just simply stumbled in my path be held responsible for that. They're forgiven. The Lord's forgiven me. They are forgiven too. And not with my forgiveness. My forgiveness only lasts for so long. But with the Lord's forgiveness, his cup runneth over, spills onto me, splashes down my forehead onto those around me. Forgiveness, life, salvation from him outside of me, achieved on the cross, to me, from him to those around me, from him to me, to me, from me to those around me, too, for all.
Mark is listening in Longview, Texas on KTAA. Hi, Mark. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you very much.
What's your question or comment?
The question I had was, I have a friend, it used to be a friend, that I had a falling out with, and they have claimed that they have forgiven me, but they're still that me and that person aren't friends anymore. And so the question I have for you guys is, what's some ways I can deal with that? And that whole subject, I mean, what's some biblical advice on that whole picture there?
All right. Thank you so much, Mark. It's a very kind of basic question. I think probably all of us have experienced this one time or another. Pastor?
I'm reminded of the time I was having an argument with my wife. A discussion, excuse me. I was having a discussion with my wife. I think we had been married for 4 years, and she had never been wrong, ever. And I remember to this day we were in the hall, and I'm telling her, this is where you're, and I was very calm. I wasn't hollering or anything. I said, this is where you're wrong. This is where you went wrong. This is what's going on, and I'm furious inside. I'm so mad. And she looks at me, and she says, you're right. I'm sorry. And I'm like, I'm not done being mad. What does forgiveness look like? Well, the hurt when we lose a friend is real. You know, the pain is deep. When they say that they've forgiven us, we'll take them at their word. Now, if it doesn't look like forgiveness for us, well, then we will have to look to Jesus and cling to him all the more. Because I would hate for the light to be shined on my life. There's a spotlight on me. And to see just how I live as a forgiven child of God, it's probably not that well. I wonder. And so if Christ has mercy upon me, even me, having forgiven me, if I live contrary to his law and have to beat my breast and ask for forgiveness all the more, then when the light is when somebody comes and says they're sorry for what they've done, I'm going to keep them at their word. I'm not going to do to them, are you sorry enough? Are you repentant enough? Or how does that look? And you know, and then just leave that with them, because there's nothing that you can do to make your friend act any differently than he's doing. If you think that he has something against you still, you certainly want to leave your gift at the altar, as the Lord says in Matthew, and go seek that person out. Isn't that just fascinating? It's not if I have something against them. You know, if I have something against them, I'll leave my gift at the altar, and I'm going to go give them a piece of my mind. It's if I know they have something against me, so you might go and seek your friend out and say, is everything okay? Is there anything that I have done still? Is there anything which is separating us? And if he says no, then okay, all right, well, I'm going to go back and put my gift back on the altar.
Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. We're talking about forgiveness tonight on Issues, Etc. Happy to take your phone calls and your email tonight, issuesetc@kfuo.org, the call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. We'll go right back to the phones on the other side of this break. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor George Borghardt is associate pastor of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Forgiving the Unforgivable. You can read some other articles that we posted at our website under the What's New section on forgiveness, issuesetc.org. Look there, click What's New. You'll find those extra resources on the subject of forgiveness. 1-800-730-2727, issuesetc@kfuo.org. To the callers with questions or comments, or those who email us with questions or comments, we're giving away the pamphlet called What About Confession and Forgiveness?
What a privilege that we can be an under-shepherd to him, the good shepherd, to tell people about Jesus.
Issues, etc. Regular guest, Dr. Lewis Brighton, on the process of considering the pastoral ministry.
God would have to call someone personally, and it does it through hearing the Word of God like this, or reading the Bible, or both. And if you should think he is calling you in your heart, then you test it out by talking to your pastor, praying about it, and letting God guide you and so forth. And what a privilege. I tell the students at the seminary, when you become a pastor, God's calling is a wonderful gift.
Have you ever considered studying to become a pastor? You'll find information on Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne, preparing servants in Jesus Christ. Concordia Seminary St. Louis, serving church and world.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues, Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours weekdays on the Internet? Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen Online, and you'll find 12 new hours Monday through Friday. You can listen live on your PC, or on demand, or on your iPod or MP3 player. issuesetc.org, and tune in weekdays to 12 new hours of Issues, Etc.
Did you know that the total budget for the nationally syndicated edition of Issues, Etc. is approximately $300,000? We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues, Etc. Just look for the LCMS logo on our homepage, issuesetc.org, to find out how your congregation can help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. Help us reach our goal of 300 church pledges of $1,000. issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is brought to you in part by Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne. Now, if you've ever considered the vocation of pastor or deaconess, why not attend an invitational on-campus visit this spring? You can find out more under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, and Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Listening on KCVW in Wichita, Kansas, here's Lori. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Hey, I had a question. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous.
That's all right.
I don't usually call into radio programs. I was listening in my car and caught the last 30 minutes of the radio broadcast. And I am struggling with a sin that it's actually an addiction. And I smoke cigarettes. And in my mind, that is a sin. And I've heard some people say it isn't, whatever. But to me, you know, I feel like it is a sin. And I feel like it separates me from God. I accepted Christ, became a Christian about 15 years ago, and at that point I repented of that sin and have since returned to it. And it's an addiction that I battle, and I feel guilty because of it. I feel like it's unrepentant sin, and I'm having a hard time getting past that and feeling, I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, you're making perfect sense. You're sounding an awful lot like me Although I gave up my cigarettes a long time ago, I got all sorts of other things. You sound like an awful lot like me every day. Lori, hang on the line. Let's see what Pastor Borghardt has to say there in response to that. Pastor Borghardt, do your thing.
Do my thing. I'm nervous, too, so don't worry about being nervous. But what happens when sin comes bubbling up, even in the baptized? All the more Jesus. You're on your own, fighting with this sin, or a sin. Let's use a sin. Fighting with a sin are only going to fail. All by yourself, light on you, and what you're doing, you're only going to fail. You might get a little momentum, get a couple of days down, but you're only going to fail. Away from you, there is forgiveness. Outside of you, there is the enlivening spirit whose gifts enliven us to faith and living, not for ourselves anymore, but in Christ. And so, you know, run from your sins, be horrified by your sins, understand that your sins separate you from God, and when you've come clean and confess them to God, cling to Him all the more. See, we think that if we buckle down and strive and struggle, we can lick these habits. We can get enough momentum that we can run up the hill. But really, dragging our sins up the hill, they just become more and more sins. And we can get a little bit up the hill. We can get a little bit up the hill. But the steeper the climb, the more it just weights us down. There was one who answered for your sins. And his death and his resurrection frees you from your sin. You died with him in baptism, as did your sins. You rose with him to new life, life freed from the sins which enslave you. So run from the things which are around this sin. I'm not going to use smoking, but I'm going to use, you know, don't hang around the places where that sin is. Be horrified by the opportunity to do that sin. And cling all the more to the forgiveness achieved by Jesus and delivered to you in the Word.
Larry's listening in Kansas City on KCCV. Hi, Larry.
Yes. Thank you for my call. I'd like to set this up, if I may. I have an 11-year-old son, and he's the largest kid in his class. He's in fifth grade, so there's a few problems there. But in our neighborhood, we have two boys, and both of them belong to single parents. There's very little accountability when they're out playing around. You never see the parents. Not that my son's perfect, but we do raise him in the word of the Lord, and we do hold him accountable for his decisions and actions. And what's happened is that these boys have just totally rejected him, and because he doesn't really do everything that they do. And this one boy, when his other little friend's not around, he'll come running over to our house, and he'll ask for Cannon. And I can see the pain and the rejection in him. And I become so frustrated. I try to tell him, you know, pray about it, go. But then the pain is still there, and the loneliness that he experiences is still there. And my question is I feel the anger within myself towards these boys, but not so much me, because your previous callers did answer a couple times. But how can I help him? How can my wife and I help him work his way through this so this doesn't become a big negative in his life as he grows older?
It's a very good question. Thank you very much. I appreciate you listening, Larry. And Pastor Borghardt, there's a lot of ways we could go with this, but I'm wondering about some good pastoral counsel that would help Larry with his son, that this not become a source of of bitterness
right.
in this little boy.
Boy, kids are mean. I watch my boys, and they do such mean things to each other. And when it hurt, when something is done to us, we can certainly handle it. But when something is done to our kid, it's painful. There was one who was abandoned by his friends, rejected of men. Christ. And there's one who, he understands abandonment. He understands what it feels like to be betrayed. He understands that. And so how do we turn what Christ did for this man's son and deliver that to his son? The father sees this boy as far more important than the other kids see him, and in this one, this young man gets to be the bigger kid. He gets to be Christ, be a Christian even when those around him aren't being a Christian. He gets to shine with Christ's love and forgiveness even when those around him are out of gas, and in doing so, be a light to them. And that doesn't mean that it's not going to hurt. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't feel alone. But his comfort is in the only comfort that there is for us, which is that Christ was abandoned for me. And God, the Father, will never abandon me, even if all my friends abandon me. God, the Father, will never abandon me after he turned his back from the third hour to the sixth hour, turned his back on his son.
We need to take a break. Pastor Borghardt is our guest. We're talking about forgiveness, obviously a subject that has not only a lot of questions, but also an awful lot of very comforting application to each of our lives, regardless of our age or our circumstances. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Senior Editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross focus of Growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about Growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, about the world's AIDS crisis. Matt, talk about how the AIDS crisis especially affects children.
Nearly 20% of AIDS deaths are children. Children who, through absolutely no ethical or moral fault of their own, have this curse upon them. And these are children where it's very easy to look upon them in pictures and say, well, they are those children. But then you meet them, each one of them, and you hear each one's name. And you talk to them about where they go to church and what they dream about and what they would like to have in their little lives. Something as simple as a chair, let alone a toy or a bed, or somebody who loves them, and you can't but respond.
How is LCMS World Relief and the many who support it, how are they responding to this crisis?
Traditionally, we've done most of the response by way of education. That is, we've provided resources to our partners, many in Africa, but also AIDS in Thailand becomes a real challenge, is becoming an extreme challenge, and also in Russia, providing dollars so that pastors, church workers, health workers can be trained on AIDS. So education is very important, and we believe education is really key within a strong Lutheran context of law and gospel, and one that has a proper understanding of sexuality as God's gift, and the blessings that God gives us there, and the blessings of faithfulness and monogamy. So that has been important. We have, in the last several years, been very active with several orphanages in Kenya, and that has been just a wonderful joy. We just finished building a brand new orphanage that houses about 60 children. It's amazing. For about $30,000, we were able to build a complete orphanage. We just added to the Matango Orphanage in western Kenya an entire medical clinic for really very little money comparatively. And we're increasingly going in this direction, providing resources for congregations in Africa so they can deal with their own HIV/AIDS orphans.
LCMS World Relief offers Christ-centered, cross-focused help to victims of the world's AIDS crisis. For more information about LCMS World Relief, find them at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief, concerned for both body and soul. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. There are resources that Christians call upon. Of course, the primary resource we call upon is Holy Scripture. Sometimes sorting out the clear teachings of Scripture require additional resources that help us clarify what it is Scripture teaches and what it doesn't teach. The subject of the Trinity and the nature of God is one of those kind of subjects where clarification has always been helpful. That's why we offer as our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February, the book on the nature of God and on the Trinity. You can browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. On the Nature of God and on the Trinity is the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February. Let's go to Austin, Texas, where Nate is listening on KLGO. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Todd, Dr. Bargak. Just for the record and in the spirit of tonight's program, I want you to know, Todd, I forgive you for your comments you made about Austin.
Oh, thank you so much.
I heard my rant the other day. My wife found it funny. That's on the issue, listener comment line. Anyway, it seems to me that a great many Christians have a view of forgiveness that's very conditional. And whether it's the sacrament of confession, absolution, and penance, or the sacrament of sincerity, you know, God will forgive you if you really, really mean it, or the sacrament of making Jesus Lord of your life. Is forgiveness at all conditional within Christianity?
Nate, thank you very much. All right, Pastor Borghardt.
Is forgiveness at all conditional in Christianity? Only in the law. If you do not forgive, you cannot expect to be forgiven. The gospel, forgiveness is free, without end, no stop, never a place in which there is a sin which hasn't been answered for. In the gospel, all means all. I think that's good. That's a good question. It really is. It makes us apply the proper distinction between law and gospel on what we're thinking about here. when the Lord says you can't expect to be forgiven if you don't forgive, he means it. And he means it to call us to repentance. Christ died for all. Even that person with that sin that did it just did something horrific that you can't even conceive of. How could that person do such a thing? Christ died for them too. Me too, with all my sins.
Richard in Bloomington, Indiana, emails us, I find it interesting that Luther's problem as a monk in the 16th century was that he understood the Roman doctrine of forgiveness too well. He intimately realized that he could not possibly confess or know all his sins. This, in part, prompted the Reformation, the greatest purification of doctrine in the history of man. Your thoughts there, Pastor Borghardt?
Father confessor say to him, come back when you have some real sins? When you understand the law, as Luther did, you understand the depth and of your sin and the desperate need for a Savior. Earlier I said that we were all going to die. That's really not our problem. Death isn't our problem. Our sin is the problem. Our sin is that separates us from God. And with him there is forgiveness. Therefore he is to be feared. Luther, yes, understood. You know, it kind of reminds me of in the early church, you know, if forgiveness is given in baptism, all your sins are forgiven in baptism, and you don't understand that is a forgiveness which is lifelong, lifetime, and that forgiveness is overflowing, your cup runneth over, and you want to think about baptism as something that you do, then when are you going to get baptized? Are you want to be baptized as a little baby where you don't have that many sins, or do you want to wait? And what they did, like even the Emperor Constantine, was wait until the last possible moment so they could get all the sins that they possibly had committed washed away. That's a misunderstanding of our Lord's forgiveness. To telestai, as we had in the first hour, the Lord's words from the cross, it is finished. It is finished. Finished. Our sins answered for. The sins that we commit as a little pup, all the way to the sins that we have committed all our lives on our deathbed. And that forgiveness is washing us clean all the time, and also those around us too. A good comment about Dr. Luther. Good stuff.
Richard in St. Louis listens on KSIV. He emails us with this question. It's, in fact, pertinent to a story that made the national news. I don't know if you heard about it or not, but it certainly did make the national news tragically going into this weekend. He said just last week a man entered a city council meeting and shot and killed 5 people. He was then shot and also killed by the police. From what I've read in the news, he was a Christian. So what you are saying is that he did not have to repent of this sin, but was forgiven because he believed in Jesus Christ? ? To you, Pastor Borghardt.
How horrific. I hadn't heard about that. We want justice, don't we? That person needs to pay. And if not now, then later. God wants justice too, and his way of doing justice was to fling all his anger at his son. Now this Christian who went in, who succumbed to his sin, who fell into his sin, his anger, his hatred, and started shooting people, I sure hope he repented. I sure hope he turns from his sins. I sure hope that was his last thoughts, were, oh God, forgive me for what I have done. We'll leave that to God, because the only hope that we have in Christ is that God would have mercy upon us, we who crucified the Lord of glory. So we taper our need and our desire for justice with an understanding that Christ's forgiveness is for all, even that person. And if in the fit of his sin, this murderer, I sure hope he repented. And if he didn't, well, then that is a sin which is held back. The sins which do us in are the sins which we hold back from the Lord's our Lord's forgiveness. Now, that is not to set up a conditional so that I have to make sure that I give up all my sins. But when you hold on tightly to your sins, and that is what you want them for yourself, those are the ones that do us in before God. Come clean. Give your sins up. It's Lent. Give up your sins for Lent. That's perfect. Give them to the Lord. Confess your sins. Come clean. And don't think that that's the work that you do that merits forgiveness. Confess your sins because you have sins. And then run to the mercy and forgiveness of God.
Susan emails us with this question. Does God forget all of our sins? If so, are we to forgive all sins committed against us as we are also forgiven by God, and then also to forget all those sins committed against us? If so, if we absolutely forgive, then wouldn't there be no sins against us that we cannot get past that ruin our relationships? So God does forget, doesn't he, Pastor Borghardt?
He remembers our sins no more. The God who knows everything remembers our sins no more. Now, there's the deal with us being human. We certainly have real problems forgetting the sins of other people. And that is something to, back to that wonderful first caller in this hour. You know, if God has forgiven me all of my sins, all the dreadful things I've done, then I can forgive those around me. And when having been forgiven, it seems to me that same thing that they did is popping up again. Oh, well, we might talk to them about it, you know, just the two of us, and find more repentance. But God remembers our sins more, which is why when we hold our sins back from, or when we want to tear ourselves up and accuse ourselves for sins that have already been committed, that God can't forgive my sin because of the dreadfulness of what I have done. We're remembering something that he has already forgotten. That's why the devil, he was in our readings today, first Sunday in Lent, is a temptation. He's the accuser. He accuses us of things that have already been forgiven.
Okay, let's pause there. When we come back in the last 10 minutes, a question remains from Susan's email where, at least with me, if God forgets, and Scripture does make it quite clear that he does forgive and forget and remembers our sins no more, well, here's my problem. I might be able to forgive, but I can't forget. And how often have we said to someone else, well, okay, I'm going to forgive, but I'm not going to forget. And it really comes out sounding an awful lot like, I'm not going to forgive. Should my inability to forget be an excuse for my willingness or unwillingness to forgive? We'll be right back. Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, on spreading mercy one person at a time.
We run into people all the time and literally all over the world who come up to us and say, you know, at just that moment when I was absolutely down and out, I had absolutely nothing else, your organization helped and made all the difference in my life. And I'll tell you what, we recently handed over 72 homes from Habitat in a partnership with Habitat for Humanity in Banda Aceh. And for those people who've been living in relief tents since the tsunami, those 72 families know the difference one family at a time. It makes a difference one person at a time. And I tell you what, that's what keeps me going in this business constantly.
Find out more about LCMS World Relief on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling 888-930-4438.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about forgiveness. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. George, you're the conference executive for this youth organization called Higher Things. Tell us a little bit about the three conferences that you have coming up this summer with Higher Things.
Higher Things is a national Lutheran youth organization which promotes Lutheran identity in young people. And we'll have three conferences entitled Amen, which is, or Amen, which is the way of faith and vocation. Faith receiving, faith's word is Amen, and then that faith is lived out in our neighbor. So faith and vocation is the topic for these. Three conferences, one in the Poconos in Pennsylvania, Poconos Mountains. The second one is in St. Louis, Missouri, and the third one is at Concordia Irvine University in California. Just 2 weeks to go before registration for those closes. And when I say national, I meant international. There's folks from kids from all over the world that are at our conferences. So, rejoicing in the Lord's forgiveness achieved on the cross and delivered in His Word, faith says Amen.
Folks, you can find out about these conferences all by going to higherthings.org. It's all one word, higherthings.org. Okay, the emailer before left a question in my mind, and you were talking before about the devil as the accuser.
Right.
The forgive and forget part is the hard part for me, because forgiveness, now, you know, as a father, I've found myself forgetting an awful lot of things that my kids have done, and then they remind me, and I say, wow, did you do that? I'd forgotten that. But I think that's more age. And being overwhelmed, you know, being a father with a family, it's not so much the kind of forgive and forget that God does. Usually, I can't forget when someone's wronged me. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, that's law gospel. That's the way Lutherans do theology. The earthly consequences, law, of our sin sometimes need to be remembered. The murderer needs to be put in jail. The child molester needs to stay far, far away from my children. Even if they repent, they still suffer the earthly consequences for their sin. Now, in the gospel, it's a very dangerous thing when we proclaim to, or I'm sorry, when we tell someone, I'm going to forgive you, but I'm never going to forget what you've done. Because we set ourselves up for using God's forgiveness as some sort of tool to put ourselves over someone else. If we truly believe the gospel, that Christ has forgiven us all our sins and that God remembers our sins no more, then we would forget the sins of those around us. But in this fallen world where we don't forget, we need to be very careful with forgiving and not forgetting. It's one of those catchphrases which is dangerous. The Lord, when He forgives us all of our sins in confession and absolution, when we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, we've sinned against Him in thought, word, and deed, He forgives us. Nothing held back, nothing answered for. And then at the end of the confession and absolution service, announces to us, go, you are free, free from this sin. And so when we're dealing with people and forgiving them in the gospel, we need to communicate to them that they're free now. And if it bubbles up into our minds, what has happened? Drown it again in the waters of your baptism. Drown it again with the words of Christ. And cling to the gospel all the more, because that wily devil is out to get them. He's out to get you too, letting the sun go down on what's up with you in your anger. So don't give him a foothold in your world by remembering things that people have done. Sometimes it's good and helpful to be as clueless as me. I don't ever know what's going to happen next. You know, like when Dr. Luther, when the gospel came clear to him, he describes himself like a dog who had been on a chain, who had been let go, running free, finally. And that's us, too. I mean, we have been set free to run around this world, just forgiving those around us. That's why I became a pastor, so I could tell people that their sins were forgiven. I didn't become a pastor so I could retain sins. Sometimes I have to do that. But I became a pastor to proclaim to people the forgiveness of sins achieved by Christ on the cross and delivered in the word and in the sacrament.
Let's get Shirley in here before we conclude our conversation. Shirley is listening in Pleasanton, California on KFAX. Hi, Shirley.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
Well, I have, first of all, a question. I want to know, you're making it sound like, Pastor, that everyone is just forgiven and we're all just this one big happy family because Jesus died. That is true. But I'd like to say that he died for all, but it's up to us to receive it. And you said that God has to repent. But the scripture says God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he has to repent.
Right.
So he may feel sorrowful that he made us sometimes as he spoke with Moses, but at the same time, God is not a man. And also, when you're saying about forgiveness, that we're all forgiven, yes, but it's something that we have to receive, because the words say, confess your sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
All right, Shirley, our time is short here. We'll see what Pastor Borghardt has to say by way of response. Is it true that it's up to us, as Shirley said there several times?
Light back on me. We're doing great in the gospel that God has died for the sin of the whole world. God in the flesh of Jesus, man and God, died for all. And then we get ourselves in there with like a screwdriver, prying ourselves in there, saying, well, yes, but I have to, but I need to, which throws us right back into the law and what we need to do. It is either all Jesus, and that is received by grace through faith, all him as a gift, or it's me. And when we put that in there and we start prying ourselves in there, we're in very dangerous ground because we're entering into the law. And are you sorry enough? Are you repentant enough? Have you committed enough? Have you given your life enough? Have you done enough to merit God's forgiveness? It's Lent. Turn from that talk. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He achieved salvation on the cross. He delivers that salvation freely in the means of grace.
One minute for response to the final question. What do you say to someone who says, look, you don't know me. My sins are simply too great for God to forgive?
There is all. He answered for all. We murdered God. You can't get any worse than that. And he looked at us and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The all-encompassing sacrifice of Christ on the cross is for all sin, every sin. And it's inconceivable, it's incomprehensible that God would die for us. It's unbelievable, but he did it. And his doing it on the cross saves us from all of our sin. Not a sin left unanswered for, not a sin left to still pay, not anything left for us to do. Faith receives what he did for us in the Word, in our baptism, in the Lord's Supper, and we are saved. He who believes and is baptized, not possibly maybe, but shall be saved. Shall be saved, certain. Sure forgiveness, as certain as Christ died on the cross, we are forgiven.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free copy of the Next Issues, Etc. journal. You can also use that number to join our monthly or annual donor program, We call it the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. 1-800-737-0172. You can also sign up online, issuesetc.org, or you can always write us. Issues Etc. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Pastor George Borghardt is Associate Pastor of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Forgiving the Unforgivable. George, thank you again.
Thank you very much.
We hear a lot from popular preachers nowadays, and even from politicians, that our God is a God of the second chance, or the third chance, or the fourth chance, or the fifth chance. We hear that this is what God, what Jesus Christ has come to do, to give us a second chance. Does that sound funny to you? It's not how Scripture talks about what Jesus Christ came to do for us. God is not in the business of giving second chances, or third chances, or fourth chances. God doesn't give us chances. If he leaves it to us and our chances, what do? We blow it again and again and again. God doesn't want to give you a second chance. He wants to give you forgiveness. There's a huge difference between being forgiven and being given a second chance. A second chance is what? Well, you screwed up once, now I'm going to give you another chance to get it right. God knows you're not going to get it right. This is why he sent Jesus, who got it right, completely right, perfectly right, in every respect, in your place. That's not a second chance. That's a savior. That's not another chance for you to do better. That's forgiveness of your sins. Even when you try again and don't get it any better than you did the first time, it's forgiveness of your sins from beginning to end. You're as forgiven as Jesus was dead for you at the cross and alive again after 3 days. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.